When I was a college elementary education major, one of the most valuable things I learned was to never tell kids how easy learning something would be, even if it was something extremely easy for me. When teachers set up an expectation that a new skill or subject is simple, kids who have any trouble with it will feel stupid, and kids who do master it won't feel like they've accomplished anything special. I learned that self-esteem comes not from getting pats on the back, but from worthwhile accomplishments and mastery of worthwhile subjects. As a teacher, that was the one simple rule I tried never to forget. Roger Torrey Peterson must have been thinking along those lines when he coined the term confusing fall warblers. Most of the warblers we see in spring are adult males who catch our attention with their colors and their songs. In fall, warblers don't sing, and young of the year and adult females together outnumber adult males. And adult males of many species have molted into duller feathers for the winter. Knowing that identifying warblers in fall was not as straightforward as in spring made it feel like a fun challenge. Unfortunately, some people take Peterson too seriously and think it's a scary ordeal. I started birding in the spring of 1975, and after being out virtually every day, ended the season with 5 warblers on my life list: black and white, Nashville, Magnolia, black-throated green, and Blackburnian. It was tricky for me amassing even this little list. I'd see a warbler in a tree, try to notice the basic color pattern and whether it had an eye line, eye ring, wing bars, and other distinctive marks, and then search through the warbler pages hoping to find one with those characteristics. Most of the time when I found a bird in the book that might have been it, I'd look up and it would be gone. One time I saw a warbler with bright yellow beneath and black streaks down the breast forming what looked like a beautiful necklace. I was sure it did not have wing bars, and so the field guide said it must be a Canada warbler, but when I looked up in the same branch to confirm my ID, it had huge wing bars forming a white patch. Now the field guide said it was a Magnolia warbler. This time I managed to go back and forth between the bird and field guide several times to confirm. I'm sure the bird I originally saw was a Canada, but with my limited experience at the time, I wasn't quick enough to take everything in, and I didn't know enough about how migrating warblers associate in mixed flocks to realize I really had seen 2 different species. I spent every free minute that summer birding, and by the end of July had added another 4 warblers, the ovenbird, common yellowthroat, yellow warbler, and American redstart. Now I was excited about the challenges of those confusing fall warblers. I managed to tease out the identities of another 4 species that fall, yellow-rumped, Tennessee, Palm, and Wilson's, ending my first year of birding with 13 warbler species. The following spring, I was quicker and more skilled at teasing out identifications and more than doubled my warbler list to 29 species. When I wasn't out birding, I was inside, poring over the pages of my field guides over and over. I mastered warblers a little quicker than many beginners, not because I had better eyes or the best books, but because I spent so many hours at it. In his book, Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell says to truly succeed in any endeavor, one must spend 10,000 hours on it. I put in at least 40 or 50 hours a week birding or studying my field guides that first spring, and by the time we were living in Madison, Wisconsin, I was putting in even more time year-round. Some people who are smarter or more visually or aurally adept than I can master birds more quickly, but when it comes right down to it, the way you truly learn birds so identifying them becomes second nature is by putting in the time and work. And the delightful thing is that the work involved is so very pleasurable. I may have only identified five species of warblers my first spring, but every one of them made me happy, and the flood of warblers that got away before I could figure them out didn't frustrate me. They filled me with anticipation of a lovely time in the future when I would recognize them all. This is the 40th year I've spent watching warblers, and every moment spent looking at them has been a joy. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.